Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with an emergency episode of the Yehuda Project. I'm going to give everyone a chance to get on the line. Therefore, we're going to do what is customary among our nation when we have an announcement to make. So please bear with us while we allow the people to call in. Thank you. Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is an emergency episode of the Yehuda Project. We have a very serious topic that we're going to talk about this evening. And while we do that, I'd like to get my co-host on the line. We have medical professionals, funeral professionals who are supposed to come on the line today to talk about this serious topic. And one moment, please. Brother Donny I, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Donny I. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. And you, sir, how are you?
I'm feeling a little bit better.
Yeah. All right, all right. Not a problem. I'm glad that you feel better. I wanted to give everyone a chance to call in. We have some medical professionals that are already on the line right now. The reason why we're doing this show is because we want to alert the people of our nation and the surrounding nations that are listening under the sound of our voice the seriousness of this outbreak of the Ebola virus. We tried to touch on it yesterday, but we had a guest on our show yesterday that didn't give us a chance to really deal with the significance of this virus and how deadly this virus is. So what we wanted to do was to take an opportunity today. I spoke with Prince Asiel this morning. He is supposed to be on our show today. He's definitely received some phone calls from some of the administrations from Libya, Nigeria, and all of the other surrounding areas where this virus has hit the hardest. But we're concerned about them as well and concerned about us because it came to our attention that President Obama has signed Executive Order 13295, which gives the medical authorities the right to detain American citizens if they show respiratory illness symptoms. So this is something that we feel is very, very important. We sent out a bolo for everyone to give us a call so that we could let you all know what to do, what to look out for, and how to handle it. We're waiting on Dr. Whitaker to call. He is actually in Africa, so he did say that he would call in, but for a few moments, so that he could give us some more insight on this disease. But in the meantime, we have Ayashina Israel on the line. She is one of our – she is the director of our public health department. And Ayashina, your mic is open. Shalom, shalom. How are you?
Fine. Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom, shalom.
So we want to get started. We don't want to waste too much time because it's an emergency. We wanted you to kind of go into some detail for those individuals who are not familiar with the Ebola virus. We know they're getting a lot of reports on the news, But we wanted you to go into detail to let people know just how serious this is, what the virus actually does to the body, and some of your information that you have.
Okay. This is a very horrific and terrifying virus. So far, it's contained in 4 countries in West Africa, Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, and they just discovered 10 cases in Nigeria. It has a fatality rate of 55 to 60%. And it's caused, it comes about, if somebody comes in contact with like a bat or a rodent or a carcass of a gorilla or a chimpanzee, and they have an open cut on their body, and that's how the body gets into the bloodstream. They in turn go and have contact with a family member who in turn gets in contact with their body secretions or their blood, and that's how the disease is transferred from person to person. It's blood and body fluid transmission. You can't get it from food, you can't get it from water, you can't get it from the air. You have to come in contact with a person who actively has symptoms, and it spreads like wildfire. It's literally taken out families in Africa.
Mm.
It's horrific. The first case was back in December 2013. It was a 6-year-old boy. He died within, I think it was like he contracted the virus and was dead within like 2 to 6 days. A week later, his mother got it. She died. His 3-year-old sister got it. He died. I mean, she died, and the grandmother died from it as well. 2 people went to the funeral of the grandmother, participated in the funeral ritual, came home and transmitted the disease to their village.
Mm.
A healthcare worker that was taking care of one of the family members, didn't say which one, got the disease and took it back to his village. So it's spreading literally from village to village to village. And the significant thing about Ebola, it doesn't have a specific symptom that you get that says, I have Ebola virus. It starts off like the basic, like in the nursing, we call it the Kafri, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and you have fever, joint pain. That could be the flu. It also mimics like malaria or typhoid fever, those kind of things. So it just looks like a regular illness that you get, and you don't know you have the Ebola until they actually run the test for it, and by then you've already got the other more serious symptoms where you have the liver failure, where your blood can no longer clot, so you literally bleed to death. And the symptoms appear anywhere from 2 to 21 days after exposure. Most commonly, it's about 8 to 10 days. Not everybody dies from it, though. If you can get past, let's say, the first 6 days and you don't have that more serious strain, you can recover. It's just that your convalescent period, that time where your body needs to heal, is going to take longer. So it's not going to be like you're going to get over this in like a few days and be up and running. No, it's going to take you a while to get over this. It's, like I said, it's a significant disease. So far, 1,779 people have died. Guinea was the first place. Like I said, when they first diagnosed it back in December, they lost a 6-year-old boy and his family. By the time they finally identified that it was Ebola, it was in March, and by then dozens of people had died all across Guinea in different villages. Go ahead.
No, so you say that how does it attack the body? We were talking yesterday, and you were saying something about it. It literally tears up the organs. Dr. Whitaker is on the line. Please feel free to push 1. We were waiting for you to come on the line as well. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ayashina.
That's okay. Like I said, you start off with your basic diarrhea, vomiting, stomach pains, lack of appetite, and severe muscle pains. What it does is the virus goes in and literally attacks everything that your body needs in terms of, like, let's say your liver, for instance. You have certain liver enzymes that your liver produces. It goes in and attacks your liver to cause your liver to break down so that you have this increase in toxins and poisons building up in your system. It also attacks your body's ability to clot your blood. You have certain things in your body called platelets, which helps your blood clot. It affects your body's ability to make platelets so your clotting period is longer, which means you bleed easy. And one of the ways that they know that this happens is that when they used to sick people to do IVs and things, they would continually bleed. Well, you know, when you get blood drawn, you just put a tourniquet on it, and it stops clotting because the blood starts to clot. In this case, the blood doesn't clot. It also it causes all your organs to break down. You go into what's called multi-system organ failure. All of your organs die. So between the diarrhea, which can kill you, just from losing all your electrolytes, which we know will help with the heart muscle and the heart pumping, and the vomiting and all, and then the not being able to clot, so you develop bleeding out of every orifice of your body, it's a horrific way to die.
Wow.
In fact, I was as I was driving in today, I was listening to the news, and they were talking about this doctor who spent a month over there. He's from Great Britain. He said he is traumatized by what he saw dealing with the patients. He was in Sierra Leone, and he was in the isolation room, and he said to watch those children die the way that they did and have those parents out there just screaming and wailing, he said it was horrific. He's traumatized from it.
Well, I mean, one of the things that the reason why we're having this show today is because it is now here in America. And
yes, ma'am.
They tried to say that it's only two cases in Atlanta, but from the research that I did, they say that there are six people in New York that also has contracted the disease. And if it is spreading as fast as you say that it is spreading from the information that we receive, then we really have to get on top of dealing with how to handle this situation. And again, let me make the announcement. If there are any healthcare professionals that are on the line, please feel free to push one. We know that you guys are calling in, and we do appreciate you taking the time to call in to give us some insight exactly on what we can expect. We're also waiting on Prince Asiel to call in as well so that he can talk about Africa, because they have definitely called him back from the, to the United States to try to get some insight as to what they should do in terms of the disease and keep him updated with what's going on with Africa. Brother Adoni, I know that you were talking about how horrific this is, and a lot of people feel that it's deliberate. You know, a lot of people feel like it's deliberate.
I'm one of them. Shalom, everybody. I'm one of the people that think it's a deliberate thing. The Africans have been in that region for eons. You understand? And if they had Ebola virus, they wouldn't have never been over there to get no slaves, because there wouldn't be nobody there, because they didn't have anything to counteract the Ebola virus. And they say the Ebola virus is, you say, I heard you say that it's a, 55% mortality rate. So if they were, if Ebola was in that region in that before those Europeans showed up, they wouldn't have had no slaves to bring into captivity. So any one of those diseases that come up, syphilis and gonorrhea and what do you call that, AIDS, and all of those things, all of these is manufactured by those Europeans. They cut the land up. They gave the British a portion of the land. They gave the French and a whole and the Portuguese, and everybody had a piece of that land. The annihilation and the genocides that they putting on those people is not working fast enough. They want the land and the materials. Matter of fact, they don't want the land. They just want whatever that land produces. You know, or they want control over it, you understand? So it's a terrible thing, and those people right there that put these things in place, they're going to have to pay through the Almighty. They're going to have to pay, and it won't be long now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ayashina, from a public health perspective, understanding the seriousness of it, why do you think that the president signed the executive order to detain Americans? I mean, because to me, that sounds very counterproductive, because how can a health professional be able to tell whether or not you have Ebola from respiratory illnesses? Most of us suffer from hay fever, bronchitis, pneumonia. I mean, you know, we're talking about it didn't discriminate between babies and children. I mean, you know, from our perspective, If I walk into the hospital and I have cold-like symptoms with a fever, because that's what he specified, that it is respiratory symptoms accompanied with a fever, they can detain me and send me somewhere and put me in quarantine, and my family may not even know where I'm at.
Correct. Ooh.
That's correct. That's correct. I did a little history on where Ebola came from because I remember hearing about it. I had to take a class and a training, actually, when I was in the military about what to do to in case there are biological attacks for certain diseases and learn about all the different types of epidemic things that can happen. And I was trying to figure out when did Ebola first start. And the earliest date that I can find is 1976. That's when the first cases of Ebola came about. And it's always been contained in Africa with a couple of exceptions. There were some monkeys that developed Ebola that were sent from the Philippines to some laboratories in New York and a couple of other places. Now, they caught the they found out that the monkeys had Ebola. Nobody got sick from it, but they were still, there was Ebola in the United States. It was just contained in a laboratory with monkeys that came from the Philippines. The only place that it's occurred outside of Africa besides the Philippines, there was one case in South Africa. There was a medical worker who went to Africa, took care of Ebola victims, came back infected. His nurse that took care of him died. He didn't die. She died. Now,
wow.
See, here's the thing, and I don't understand why the CDC is saying there's no significant risk to the U.S. public for the Ebola virus. So if there's no significant risk, why would you still need to isolate Americans unless they're coming from West Africa? Now, that needs to be clarified. Are they coming from West Africa to America, or are they just Americans with symptoms?
Yeah, that's another thing, you know. It's a mess here, man. How these people can? You said
1976 was the first case that I found.
Yeah,
Wikipedia. Yes.
Yeah, 1976, and they brought us over here captive as slaves. If Ebola was in that region during the time of the slave trade, they would not have had very many slaves to bring over here. If the Ebola virus is so contagious, you understand, and death ridden, you understand. So it's just and then here's another factor: most of the cases that they publicize, all black folks. You understand? They got Europeans that live in Africa right now today. They not affected. But all black folks is. It may sound like a conspiracy, but I'm telling you, man.
Another thing that I read is that they say that especially like in the area of Guinea where it started, it happens in the poorest regions of the land because there's a lack of, they say the hand washing is an issue there, but if you don't have access to clean water to drink, or access to water, period, they're saying the last thing you're thinking about is washing your hands. And that came from the World Health Organization.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Maybe I'm just a conspiracy theorist.
Well,
the only reason I draw these conclusions and become such a conspiracy theorist is because they lie so much, you never know when they're telling the truth.
Anything could be a weapon of mass destruction, and nothing will destroy a nation or a country more so than a pan epidemic.
That is correct. Look at that AIDS outbreak. You understand? They for years, man, almost 30 years now, they've been talking about all kinds of things that made the AIDS pandemic come up. But we find it out now that was a laboratory experiment. Whew, after 30 years.
Absolutely. And the question I guess that I have is, upon speaking to a funeral director, I was trying to find out the safety of all of that, and he had expressed to me that the way that they, because I was told that even if you go into the hospital with the Ebola virus, and you have the symptoms that the actual nurses have to actually wear hazmat uniforms to be able to treat you with whatever treatments they have. But he was just saying to me that the reason why they're not worried is because they cool the body temperature down and that most viruses cannot live under a certain body temperature. Now, would that be the same case for Ebola? Because if the individuals contracted the virus from going to the funeral, then that doesn't sound like that's absolutely correct, unless they don't have embalming technology over in Africa. I'm not quite sure.
Well, I had that same question because I think it might be a tribal thing, because one of the things that they said is that a lot of the patients contracted the virus after participating in the burial rites and rituals that's common for whatever tribe they're from. And then they contracted it that way and then brought it home and affected their families.
Yep.
So I think the burial rituals are a little different.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to stay in the body for 21 days. You can't bury nobody for 21 days.
Well,
wow.
No, it says the symptoms appear anywhere from 2 to 21 days after you were exposed to it. But, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was also told that even in a man, if a man contracts the virus and he survives the virus, that it's in his semen for up to 2 months after he contracts the virus. So, I mean, this sounds like this is pretty serious.
Yes, ma'am, it is. It's very serious. It was one of those diseases that they taught us about, like I said, when I was in the military, that it could be used as a weapon of mass destruction.
I'm sure it could. I'm sure. I am certain it is. And the coolest people on the face of the earth, you understand, is always doing all these researches and stuff. And we know that, see, the African continent is rich with minerals and et cetera. And they already cut that land up. So in order to get, they can't kill everybody off. This is one of the mechanisms that they're using for mass destruction so that they can control that land. Now, I'm only saying this because they always lie. They'll tell
right.
you before they tell you the truth. You understand? So And all of a sudden, you understand, Africans is getting this. I ain't seen, they got pockets of Europeans in that land cultivating, you know, got land and they doing whatever they doing. I don't hear nothing about them except for those two aides that was helping out. I haven't heard no white folks getting that disease from Africa. Always got to be black folks. And it's totally a annihilation. When they said about the AIDS virus, it was pointed at black Africans. You understand? And they made it as though that we were the culprits. We were the ones that eating monkeys or whatever they call it. See, I just don't believe it. I'm sorry. You understand? And they're gonna have to pay dearly for it.
Okay, so then let me ask you this question, Ayashina. And Ayashina is the director of our public health department. She's been in the medical industry, in the medical field for over, 30-something years, and she has an in-depth experience on living in other countries and all of that. We have a lot of people on the line. We have mores on the line and teachers and different things like that. What advice, because we know we have to wash our hands. That hand washing technique is something that they tell us on television all the time. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, keep washing your hands. But we have to be a little bit more conscious than just washing our hands, because everything we touch, everyone we come in contact with, how do you protect yourself from that kind of exposure?
Like I said, one of the biggest things is hand washing. And I'm not talking about getting a little bit of soap and going in there and rubbing, you know, a little – 1, 2, 3 second thing. There's a certain way you have to wash your hands. And maybe this is something we need to do, like put an instructional video out on our website about this, because this is significant. you could always, like we used to joke, you can always tell people who are in the medical profession, at least I hope you can, when they go in the bathroom and you see them washing their hands, they're not just a little soap, bam, bam, back and forth. They're going all through the fingertips. They're going into the finger, you know, under the nail beds, making sure the nail beds are clean. They're scrubbing their hands thoroughly so that, and then they put, when they turn the water off, they use a paper towel. When they open the door to leave, they use a paper towel. Because what's the point of scrubbing your hands really well if you're going to touch infected objects?
Mm-hmm. I understand.
That's true. That's very true. And we're always touching things. If we're in the parking garage, we're touching the doors. If you're coming down the stairways, you're touching the railways. I mean, really sanitizing everything. One of the sisters recommended that we buy Clorox wipes and be able to carry those and be able to wipe down what we touch. I mean, you're really going to have to be, not that it's spreading now. What we're trying to do is get in front of it comes a pandemic, because if it is as contagious as everyone says it is, and we have 6 new patients in New York, and then we have 2 patients in Atlanta that they've closed off or carted off a whole floor in the Atlanta hospital for 2 patients, then it's already spreading.
Yes, it is. I mean, like I said, this is a very, very dangerous, very contagious disease. Now, I don't know the ethnicity of the 2 patients that they have in Atlanta. I do know one's a doctor, and I think the other one was a missionary.
Yeah.
But they literally cornered off a whole hospital wing for them. Mm-hmm. Now, the patients in New York, I don't know about them. I know that I think they were from Africa, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's just a mess, man. Ooh wee! I'm telling you, I just can't believe it. Yes, yeah, I can't believe how. Well, I should be able to believe these folks, man, because they liars and murderers. You understand? So I believe that. And I'm sorry, you understand, but I'm basing everything that I say. I'm basing it on the lies that they've been told. Everywhere they go, you understand, they create murder, mayhem, and carnage. You understand? So I know that these people don't mean nobody no good. All of a sudden, all blacks is getting it. No white folks. All them little white folks that got farms in Africa, they don't catch it. You understand? I know it might be, you know, that. And see, here's what they do, you understand, most often. They bring those missionaries over there. You understand? Preaching JC, you understand? Giving them people needles to, oh, you got a cold, let me give you this needle. You understand? See, they, you know, these people here is terrible, boy. Whew, I can't believe it.
Well, then you really need to treat this like the AIDS virus, because like Sister Yahina was saying, a male survivor has it in his semen for nearly 2 months after he's infected.
Yep. I understand, you know.
And that's the key. If you're especially if you're working in the healthcare field, we have what we call protective equipment, where we wear a mask, gown, and gloves. I mean, from head to toe, we're covered.
Mm-hmm.
If relatives come in to visit family members who are in isolation like that, they have to put on the whole mask, gown, gloves, everything as well.
Yeah, that's true. You understand? That's after the fact. You understand? What we need to do is we don't have to. So that we don't become victims of it, we need to stay on top of it. And like I had mentioned, you understand, we might want to get some mask if it gets that. Well, it's not airborne. You have to come in contact with the individual. But
in a healthcare worker case, we're handling bodily fluids all the time, so we have to. We can't, you know, spare no expense, so to speak. I mean, we're talking mask, gown, gloves, the whole bit. Eye shields even, because it can get transferred into the eye.
Well, I mean, even if you're not in the healthcare profession, what about kissing? I mean, what about sexual body fluid transfer from place to place? What about being on the toilet seat when you go into a mall and your children have to use the bathroom? I mean, what about people sneezing on you? I mean, all of those things are body fluids. That's it. They're not. It's not specifically contained to the body fluids that are inside of the body, from my understanding. It has to be something that's going on the outside of the body. So, I mean, you're talking about contact, hand-to-hand contact. And we'd like to ask, you know, all of those people that we have invited to the show, please feel free to push one. We want you to have an opportunity to give some insight, you know, as to what's exactly going on. So, but when you're talking about body fluids, I mean, that's what we swap back and forth in our relationships every day. We do it with our children. When we put our mouth on our children, when we put our mouth on our loved ones, when we wipe the tears of somebody, we're coming in contact with body fluids. When you use the bathroom, like you said, if somebody uses the bathroom and they don't do the proper hand washing technique, and then they touch the faucet, you touching the faucet. So, I mean, all of these things have to be taken into consideration. And I wanted to be able to get this information out to the people because we now have to be careful. I think I have Prince Asiel on the line. Is it okay if he joins in with you on the conversation?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Prince Asiel, are you there?
I'm here, sis. How are you?
Shalom, shalom.
Yes, sir, we're good. Shalom, shalom.
We were
just telling our listening audience about some of the things that you and I were discussing today about this whole Ebola scare.
Well, first of all, I applaud you and the team for keeping the people aware of what is taking place both prophetically and politically in the world. But I want to remind our people about something that just took place that they may not have paid attention to. For the first time ever, it was 25 to 30 presidents. Hold on 1 second. 25 to 30 presidents in America, and they were, could you hold on just for 1 second? I got a doctor calling in to me now. I'm trying to see if he's available. Hold on.
Okay, great. Yes, sir. Ayashita, what were you saying now?
There's no
about the body fluids.
Yes,
right,
ma'am,
right,
that is
absolutely
transmitted in the body fluids. Yeah, and there's no cure for this right now. I know that I heard the other day that they're getting ready to approve an experimental drug for the disease. Right now they're just treating the symptoms as they come available. So, like, if they show up, like if you're bleeding, I mean, of course, they're going to, you know, try to give you blood products and IV fluids for the dehydration from the diarrhea. If you've developed, you know, the fever and you have an infection, they're going to try to treat it with antibiotics. So basically, we're chasing the symptoms, basically. There's no cure for this in terms of I'm going to give you this vaccine to help you not get Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's just too much going on. Like I said, we have to be careful now. And we're not going to wait until it becomes a pandemic while everyone's panicking. We want to be careful now. You know, we have to start storing up on different things so that we have all of the things that we need from sanitation to making sure that we teach our children. You know, and it's going to be very difficult because we're so free with the way that we operate in our life. You know, we touch everybody, we touch everything. And if it's in the body fluids, I mean, you really have got to be very, very careful, you know, because you just don't know who has it and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have to be careful because we can get a little complacent, you know, because it's America and we have everything here. But you should always be careful. I mean, what if the infrastructure breaks down one day and we don't have access to clean water or there's a major epidemic or the hospital shut down or there's no electricity? Those are the kind of things we need to have a contingency plan for.
That is correct. You are absolutely right. I've been saying that for a long time, is that we need to start putting back stuff and hold on to things, you understand, so that in case anything happens, which is inevitable in this day and time, it's going to happen, you understand. We will be able to sustain our living at least for another day, you understand. You know, I said this, that we need to, that when those schools closed, we should have been able to grab one of them schools up through a nonprofit organization and start storing stuff in the basement. It could be used as a school until until there's a crisis, but we will always have stuff stored up. You understand? So if it don't, we got to try to do something to sustain our living. You understand? The Almighty said, "In Jacob shall be saved. Through it all, Jacob shall be saved." So he didn't say that just to all willy nilly and just haphazard. He said that for us to make some kind of preparations for us to sustain ourselves. Because this, we've been going along, you understand, depending on these folks, you understand, and they got so much on the table now, they're not going to ever think about us, but for sure, you understand, we least of their worries.
That is very true. I think we lost Prince Asiel. If you could push one, I think he's back on the line. But, you know, also we want to let everyone know to start storing up water because in Toledo alone, they tested the water one day and found out that the water wasn't fit for consumption. Toledo, Ohio, they said the water wasn't fit for consumption. The people could not even boil the water and use it. They couldn't take a bath in it. They couldn't brush their teeth in it. And all of the people who didn't have any water stored up were lined up outside of the grocery stores ready to get their hands on a case of water. And we've been saying this for the longest, that it is time to start storing up and putting some things away. And, you know, we don't know how this situation is going to get, because this is one of the diseases that can wipe out a whole nation.
That is correct.
Yes, ma'am. The CDC says that the fatality rate overall for Africa is 55% to 60%. But in Guinea alone, it's 75% mortality rate.
Wow. Let me get him back on the line real quick. Prince Asiel, are you there?
Yes, I'm back. I'm sorry that I had to disrupt. I was trying to get the chief medical officer of Cook County, Dr. Mason, because we've been talking about this with the CDC, and it just so happens that he's in the middle of a conference and he couldn't come on, but he shared some more information that I'll be more than glad to share with the listening audience. First of all, as we all know, it's a virus, and it's carried in most of these countries by the monkeys and the bats, who seem to be the greatest host for this kind of virus. It's just like rabies in America with a dog. You know, if you're bitten by one, you've got to be able to get inoculated, and since they have no inoculations yet for this particular virus, the body fluid that you were talking about is a very serious issue, and I'm trying to make sure that we get the up-to-date medical report, because he's in contact with the Center for Disease Control, and I told him that even if I can't get him back today, we'll invite him back either on my program or one that we may do special for this. But as I was saying earlier, I wanted to make sure that you understood that when 25 presidents from Africa was in, Ebola became the dominant conversation in the news for that whole week that they were up in Washington. I look at things both from the political, the prophetic side of things as well, because we on this program, the internationalization of our people, is to encourage back to Africa, back to Israel. We want people not to be afraid that they're going to die if they leave America and go into Africa, fearing that these dreaded diseases are so prevalent that because of hygiene situations, people really don't know, and we'll get another kind of frame of mind. I see, number one, they're trying to discourage African Americans from thinking outside of the U.S., and they take something that's as real as the Ebola as a virus, just like they did with AIDS. Remember now, came from a monkey supposedly too in the Congo. And that became the panic. And then the next thing we saw was that AIDS were among mainly black homosexuals out in San Francisco and then the homosexual community. Because if you've noticed, they've been pushing the gay rights issue, and all of a sudden it disappeared as an issue. But at that time, AIDS was so deadly that you couldn't survive it. And the same thing they're putting out there about Ebola. Ebola has got a 4-day mortality rate when you contract it. So we got to be real wise, those of us who are sensitive and prophetic in terms of how do you redeem a people. Because what they will then begin to say by bringing it into America, these test cases, that the African-American community are highly infectious. Remember when they had the syphilis exam that they did at the Tuskegee experiment? They shot black men for 40 years with syphilis.
Yep.
And they let it go freely and spread it among the African-American community in the South, because that was one of the ways in which they could control and begin to sterilize black men and women with under the guise that they were killing off a virus that could be infectious among the people. And so we began to see the detriment of men and women getting married or black men and women dating, because the man may very well be a carrier of syphilis and once with a woman. And if they were promoting at that time the promiscuity of black men and black women, so all of that was part of the tactic to not only make you afraid to have children or make you afraid to get married so that you would be afraid that this man who's had multiple partners prior to you. And it was all not an experiment. It was a controlled genocide program. So I just wanted to add the political aspect of being a slave or the descendant of a people of slaves when there's a redemptive measure in which we are supposed to be adhering to, in terms of if this is the prophetic time for us to begin to look outside of America for our redemption, particularly in Northeast Africa, where Israel, but we know that the Holy Land runs from the Nile, from the Euphrates, down to the Nile in Southeast Africa. So I'm putting that out there so that we can have a correct knowledge. And I was sharing earlier with Princess Yaina about the reality of the prophetic plagues during the time of Moshe, of Moses, when God permitted the plagues to come upon the people at a level that they had never seen before, with flies and with frogs and with all of these curses. So I'm telling you now that I'm going to extend, after I get off the program tomorrow on my show, the prophetic nature of this, so I won't tie this up. But I just wanted to put that out there so that you can begin to look at it both from a political and a prophetic point of view. I'm going to let you continue on so that we can lay this out, and hopefully by tomorrow I can get Dr. Mason to add the medical aspect from the CDC.
Hallelujah. So then again, Ayashina, from a professional medical standpoint, how do you protect yourself? Because I know in Japan they walk around with masks on. We haven't gotten to that point here in America. A lot of people feel like it is it has been planted here or brought here for a specific reason. And our biggest issue is President Obama signed an executive order giving the healthcare professionals the authority to detain Americans. You know, so we are just trying to figure out, you know, how do we protect ourselves from that whole situation and teaching people how to be consciously aware of their surroundings and not to be so free to just expose themselves to everyone and anything. I mean, really.
You know what? If you look at on a very basic level, if you don't do anything else, if you can't, if you don't have access where you can wash your hands, hand sanitizer is the next best thing. Keep your hands sanitized. That's on a very basic level. I pray to the Most High. It never gets to the point where we have to walk around in masks. But if you have any type of illnesses where you have a fever, a cough, malaise, or anything where you just feel tired all the time, you can't get up, you can't breathe, or you're running a fever of a 101.5 or greater, then you should be wearing a mask till you get to the doctor and he can help, you know, determine what type of virus or bacterial infection you do have. I mean, this whole thing about wearing masks, every hospital at the beginning of the front door, the back door, wherever, they tell people when they come in just to visit, if you are experiencing the following symptoms, fever, malaise, cough, please put on a mask and use hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the babies, you know, being a mother, a lot of babies kept fever all the time, you know, and we just have, I just don't know. I mean, you know, I just don't know. I mean, you know,
kids are very resilient. They get fevers. They have ear infections. They get fever. If your child is having a really, really high fever, like I would say anything over 101, I would take them to either the pediatrician or the emergency room just to be checked out.
Yeah, but if they're going to detain them, then what happens?
I'm sorry, what?
If they're going to detain them, if there's an executive order revised to detain Americans that possess the, let me pull it up because I want to make sure that I'm right in what it says, but there's an executive order to detain them, then what?
Right. Now, when you say detain, like I said, are they coming from West Africa or are they going to Africa? Or is it just detain in general?
No, this is a list of detained Americans. President Obama signed this July 31st of this year, 2014, which gives the medical authorities the right to detain individuals with acute respiratory symptoms, such as diseases that are associated with fever and signs and symptoms of pneumonia or other respiratory illnesses are capable of transmitted from person to person, and that either are causing or have the potential to cause a pandemic or upon infection are highly likely to cause mortality or serious morbidity if not properly controlled. So, and then it says this subsection does not apply to influenza. Well, who's going to be able to tell whether or not you have the flu if you have a fever? Because most people that have the flu have a fever.
Well, and I'm going to play devil's advocate on this a little bit, but I would much rather have a person who's experiencing those symptoms be what you call detained, what we call isolation, until we can determine what they have before I would want to get on a plane with someone like that and then be exposed to something that could be considered an epidemic. I believe in erring sometimes on the side of caution.
Right, and I can understand that form of conversation, but at the same time, how do we know what they're doing to them once they contain them? How do we know that they're not using them as test subjects?
Now, that's another story. I don't know that. In my sanctified imagination, I would want to believe that they're being detained because they're being treated for whatever condition that they have and not used as human guinea pigs.
I don't know. Let me open up the questions to all of you all that are on the line. If you have a question, a comment, concern, please feel free to push 1. We want to hear what you have to say. I guess Dr. Whitaker didn't have a chance to call in. He said it's like 2 o'clock in the morning in Africa where he is. He said he was only going to be able to call in for a few minutes. Dr. Whitaker, if you're on the line, please push 1. But, you know, we did, and he believes that this is all patented by the United States, that this is an opportunity for them, like, you know, to put it into the community to see. I mean, because everyone knows they're doing population control. Everyone knows this, that they have a plan to do population control.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we know, you understand, see, it started in Africa. And we know that those folks over there want that material, whatever it is, whether it's diamond, gold, or oil, they want it. And they will do anything to get rid of the people that have it. And they can't come out and say that we're taking this oil, because the international community is not going to be so kind to that kind of approach. But you understand, so they say, and here's what they do: they blame us, they blame Africans, you understand, for this particular disease. You know, and they did it with AIDS, they did it with the syphilis stuff, man. These people is cool, you understand. And see, the thing that our only salvation is in the Almighty. You understand? Now we have to take the precautionary measures, you understand, and the Almighty will save us. You understand? We gotta use by any means necessary, we have to sustain our living. You understand? So we have to do all the precautionary measures, you understand, and ask the Almighty to save us, you understand, with prayer. You understand? There's not too much thing. We don't see, being that we don't control anything. You understand? There's very little that we could do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister Aishina?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say, you know, to all of those who are listening under the sound of our voice, the reason why we did this show today was to give you some information to let you know how deadly it is. And how serious it is, and that it is in the United States. And we have to be very, very careful with how we manage ourselves, you know, and what how we manage our children, because all of us, most of us have children, and we have to make sure, you know, that we teach our children how to make sure they keep their hands clean, that we have to be careful in coming in contact with people who that exhibit any sorts of symptoms that are flu-like, cold-like, because like the young lady said on the YouTube clip, you know, they brought the two doctors back from Africa, Americans back from Africa. They have to completely sanitize the plane. All of the staff has to be sanitized. The ambulance that they rode from the plane to the hospital has to be completely sanitized. All of the nurses and the doctors have to be sanitized where they are, just to make sure that this doesn't pass to them, and then they go home and pass it to their children, and then their children go to school and pass it to other children, and it just begins to spread. That's what an outbreak is. It is coming in contact with infected people, and you talk about caregivers, you know, body fluids, tissues. That means blood, semen, vaginal secretion, saliva, anything that is a person's body fluid. And one thing we wanted to talk about too was the nightclubs. The nightclubs and the strip clubs is breeding grounds for this kind of stuff. It's like an area where viruses just live, because people are sweating, you know, they're dancing and sweat is flying everywhere. I mean, we really got to start being very careful now, which we should have been doing in the first place. But we have to be, you know, those things that we took for granted and those behaviors that some people have, sharing a cigarette with someone, sharing a weed stick with somebody, letting somebody drink out of your glass, all of that stuff has to come to a complete halt.
I'm telling you.
Ooh. Yes, ma'am. You know what? As I was driving in this afternoon, I was trying to figure out how we could prevent this so that we could put a spin on it so it's not so scary. Well, guess what? It's very scary.
That is correct.
It's a very scary situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, it is. And when you really start thinking about, like I said, the situations that we put ourselves in for enjoyment, amusement parks, movie theaters, you got all these people handling stuff that we eat, we drink, you know what I'm saying, we sit on, public toilets. And, you know, it's probably best, if I was to give any advice, is to go to those dollar stores and get you one of those little bitty spray bottles that you can put a little bleach water in. One of the sisters suggested that, you know, and began to just spray down everything you touch. You know, and everybody would be like, well, that's a little bit extreme. No, it really isn't. When you consider, if you go on if you Google what this disease looks like on a person's body, it is completely horrific. And Ayashina was explaining to me yesterday how painful the death is, that it is a painful way to die. Could you explain to them?
Well, it's painful because all of your bowel organs literally break down to the point they start to just liquefy. I mean, your liver shuts down, everything shuts down. You bleed to death.
Mm.
It attacks every organ in your body. That's got to be a horrific way to go. And you have constant, you have this continuous watery diarrhea that they can't stop. And the significant abdominal pain that comes with that, it's horrific. That's why I said when I heard that doctor talk about that on the news today, how traumatized he is from watching children die that way.
And you know what? You have a lot of individuals, and I like to just be real with individuals and be real about this whole thing. You have a lot of individuals out there now that are engaging in oral sex with people they don't even know anything about. I mean, they don't even – it's just unbelievable to me. And it's like, you know, those are body fluids. You know, those are body fluids. This is the kind of stuff that will get you dead in a moment. For what? I mean, it's time to stop all of the illicit behavior. The behavior that is – the Most High has a way to stop you from doing the stuff he don't want you to do. I mean, you know,
of
this stuff, even all of it, the sodomy, all of this stuff is where you are contracting with body fluids, normal sex with individuals, and he has a way of bringing – like Prince Raphael said, it's sometimes this is the Most High bringing these things into play because people don't believe that he's real. And he is going to stop you because either you pay attention or it's a possibility you'll be dead.
That is correct.
That is very true. That's very true.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, and this is serious business. I mean, for real. And what angers me is these super spiritual Hebrews. And I hate to say that, but I have to come out with this. These people are so spiritual. All you got to do is pray. That y'all cover you and y'all take care of you. Well, some of it is your responsibility. You're not going to continue to be able to live a haphazard life and do whatever you want to do and then say, well, y'all's going to have to. No, you're going to have to stop some of the things you're doing and start paying attention to the things that are important. And, yes, I'm a believer in prayer and meditation. And, yes, I believe that the Most High will cover you. But you have a responsibility to do something, too, other than sit and meditate.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
I agree. I heard a talk the other day, and I think we were talking about this maybe last week or so. Like, you want to pray to God for your hypertension to go away, but you won't stop using a lot of salt.
Exactly.
You want to pray for healing, but yet you're still eating pork.
Exactly. You have to take some responsibility. Exactly. I'm going to let someone, 773 is on the line. Prince Raphael, is that you?
No, this is Paul McKinley.
Oh, shalom, Brother Paul McKinley. How are you?
How you doing, brother? How you doing, sisters?
I'm doing
wonderful. Good to hear your voice. What do you have? What do you think about the Ebola virus?
First of all, I'd like to say that there was a book out that came out in the 80s. It was written by a European. The name of the book escapes me, but it was talking about Ebola was an experiment drug that came out in 1976 and had been experimented on people in Zaire.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from South Africa, and the World Health Organization helped spread it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out for a minute, and then it ceased to exist. Because it was highly contagious. And it's a disease in a community where the first place it showed up was in the African community And a part of their ritual was that everyone touched the body to, you know, to say goodbye to the person.
Mm.
Well, that's how they was contracted. That's how they was catching it, by touching it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the elders wondered why the Catholic nuns wasn't catching it. So the elders stood back and watched one of the funerals and told the villagers, look, the people that get sick, we're going to put them in a hut. We're going to feed them in that hut. Whatever we feed them, they put their bowl out, we put the food in their bowl, and they eat in that hut. If they survive, they survive. If they die, we burn the hut down. This was in this book.
Okay.
And so what ended up, that was how they got rid of it. Then after they got rid of it, they went and killed the Catholic priests, the nuns, because they said, how did you know not to touch the bodies of the dead people?
Mm-hmm.
How did you know this? So they ended up killing them people. So Ebola kind of went away for a minute because it was highly contagious, even to the people that had it. Now, if you notice, when this disease just came out, right when Barack Obama, your president, everybody voted for him, met with all the African nations. See, all this is an attack on us.
Now, I know that.
It's all an attack on our people to make us look like we got diseases and we're dangerous and to scare away us from doing business with the people in Africa. So even when you look at the way that they are talking about the Ebola, notice that they're saying the same things like they're saying about AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where it comes from. They're saying it may come from a fruit bat. Where you get that from? How did you come up with a fruit bat? Black folks been had fruit bats in Africa, and they was getting bit by them. And it was some folks was eating them. So it's all about coming up with a mythical disease, a disease you don't know where it comes from. You don't know how the people catch it. It's directed toward our people.
That is correct.
Nobody knows where it comes from, but there's always some type of people that's linked to it that got something to do with the World Health Organization.
Mm.
AIDS was spread in among our people in Africa with the smallpox. When they was given the smallpox vaccines, they were spreading AIDS also. And if you notice, the same with this disease, it pops up in the hospital out of nowhere. Now, they bring this guy back, they bring the white man back, said he had it. He's doing good. He's doing better than what he was doing. So whatever they're giving him to help him do better, why they can't do it for them people that's over there that's catching it? Just the other day, they show a man in Africa so sick he just lays down in the middle of the street. All that is to make our people look bad, those images. All that, and they show that all around the world. So I think, and none of your rappers are talking about it. None of your, where are your leaders? Well, are your name brand national Negro leaders? Why they haven't took it upon or even questioned this disease? They are a part of this scenario because it's the conspiracy of silence. By them not saying nothing, they're part of the conspiracy.
That is correct.
So for people that's listening to this show, that this show is a like-minded show. It's a show that it's not conventional. Y'all are not operating in the box. You're not government-funded. You're not a part of the system. And so people who are listening to this program get the opportunity to hear another opinion, another idea, another way of looking at something, because our people are truly destroyed because of a lack of knowledge.
Yeah,
and our people are also destroyed of a lack of trying to find out some knowledge. I heard what you were saying about how our people, they didn't came in with this new theological understanding. And it doesn't matter whether it's Christian, Muslim, or just practicing the Old Testament. Our people didn't got into some type of mold of just pray about it. So where y'all get that from?
Mm-mm-mm.
It's almost ridiculous. It's almost, yeah, we're not saying that prayer doesn't answer. God does answer prayer. He answered prayer. Well, I mean, no one is disputing that. But like the sister said, you got high blood pressure, but every time you put some food on your plate, you pouring salt on it like it's ketchup.
That's true.
That's true.
God can, the great God in heaven cannot intervene with your personal will. You just want to commit suicide, he can't stop. He can send someone to warn you.
Mm-hmm.
When those doctors is telling you to stop eating all that salt, that's him telling them people to warn you. But you keep doing it, just like a person going to get them drugs. Somebody telling them to stop messing with the drugs, he keep going to get them. So I'm saying to you that our people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Our people are destroyed because they don't want to listen to our elders. They don't want to listen to sound doctrine. They don't want to listen to real life. And one thing, sister, that I want you to hit upon also when you was laying it out, our people don't want to go by the law. They don't want to go by the law. See, there's law. There's a universal law. There's an organic law. There's a man-made law.
That's true.
Our people is the only people don't want to go by no law.
That's correct.
We don't want to go by the great God law. We don't want to go by his law. We don't want to go by law of the land, where it say don't be stealing folks' stuff. Don't be shooting folks, because that's just what you want to do. And I mean, our folks is the only, and they're buying into this decadent culture. The reason why they're doing this, the reason why our folks is becoming so lawless and perverted, and because they're being drafted and pulled into this decadent culture, this Greco-Roman culture that our elders way back when told us not to be a part of. And our people are straying after the gods we know not of. We don't know about this stuff that them people are talking about. We taught them about God. We don't need them to teach us about no God.
That is correct.
We know who
That's
he
correct.
Is. We don't need you. When they came and got us from Africa, we knew who the great God was. They wasn't
That's
teaching us nothing about it. If anything, they erased what we did know through the slave system. And even then, because the Spirit of God has not departed from our people, we ended up coming back into the fold and getting to the scriptures and finding out who we was. Now, if any young people listening to the voice, I like to say this to y'all, this to the young people. First of all, we not sent to the young. I mean, we not sent to the old people. If these old fools want to obey the law, they got a will to choose, because they know right from wrong. We're sent to the young and the yet unborn. If an old fool want to do right, he got a right to choose. These young people are under so much scrutiny, so much drama, so much evilness is directed toward these young people. This got to be the generation to break that yoke on our people. For them to put this much effort on you young people to keep y'all from knowing and connecting with the great God. What they're doing, with all the stuff you see these people doing, their whole thing is to get you to buy in that you ain't nobody. If you buy into that you ain't nobody, they won. If they can convince you that you ain't nothing, they convince you.
And I was living proof that you ain't got to do that.
That is correct.
I was in the dungeons of Illinois. I had 50 years. I was so far back in the penitentiary, they used to come back there with a light like I was they digging a hole. You know how they be digging a hole? They used to have to come back there with a flashlight. They put the lights on all of us. That's how far back in jail I was in.
I know that's
them
right.
Them people had shut my life down, but I never gave up hope. Mm-hmm. And I asked myself, what am I doing in here? This ain't my home. This ain't where I'm supposed to be. And I worked my way 14 calendar years, 14 years, 9 months. And that was the third time I was in the penitentiary. That wasn't the first time. That was the third time I was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked my way back to the society, back to the streets. And I purposed in my heart, through the great God Almighty, because I didn't do it on my own.
I knew that.
And I came back into society, and I made a difference. And I'm still making a difference up here in Chicago. But my message is aimed at the young and the yet unborn. Their whole thing is to keep the young people from emerging and stepping into their right position among leadership and to be who they're supposed to be. Them young kids down in Missouri, they did right to hand it up down there. They were not going to get no justice through them Negroes down there telling them to be cool. Now, you see all the Negroes down there telling them, hey, man, let's try to be cool. We got the FBI down here. The police going to, we going to take them to court. The same with them folks up there with y'all when they just strangled that boy. They weren't going to do right unless that boy, until they all started clowning up there. These folks don't understand nothing unless we band together and say we ain't going for it. Then they honor the, see, we can make them honor the law. The law wasn't just given to us. The law given to them too. But as long as we out of order, as long as we in the sign of the drunken monkey around here on pills, alcohol, and don't get explicit about that weed. That's not, you're not smoking reefer. That is something else. That is a genetic engineered plant that you're smoking. Don't no reefer spit that loud. Ain't no such thing as no reefer. You are not smoking no herb. You're smoking something else, and it's tearing your mind up. And plus, our young people had a lot of parents that was getting high and a lot of men that was getting high that got the woman pregnant because that was in him. It was in his blood. So our young people ain't got no business drinking Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid may give them a chemical imbalance. You don't need to smoke no reefer. You don't need to be drinking no alcohol. And Lord knows you don't need to be messing with no hard stuff. Because it don't take nothing for your little mind to get out of balance because you can automatically born with a chemical imbalance because your people was messing with stuff. So young people, you got to understand. The young people, you got to understand, we can't make you do nothing. But our job is to encourage you. These elders that's on this show, is their job is to point you in the right direction. The sisters, their job is to show you young sisters, like King Solomon said, they're the mothers of wisdom. Our black women are the mothers of wisdom. If King Solomon was the wisest man in the world, and he became before the great God. Now, y'all young people, listen to this. This is how bad our women is. He didn't even know what to ask God. Who do you think told him that? His mama. Well, don't go in there and ask God for no money, no power. Go ask God for some wisdom.
That's right.
It affected Solomon so much, he had to write a book about it. She's the mother of wisdom. He's talking about your sister. You ain't got to go through all that stuff. Ask your mama. She got to. God just gives it. It's just natural. Born with it. They try to give it all kind of phony names like mother wit. That ain't no mother wit in the Holy Bible. I ain't never seen that wrote down nowhere. She's born with the wisdom that only God can give them.
That's right.
So you young people, when you hear this sister on here talking, y'all take heed to her. Because she's trying to give you, enlighten you, give you a little wisdom. Because right now it ain't about how much money you get. Because you can get all the money in the world, and them white folks come take your money from you.
That is
you
correct.
You get all the power,
that
is correct. White folks come get that stuff from you because you ain't got no sense with it. Y'all young people made a lot of friends, had big money. Them people came, got negative this money. You ain't got no sense. Give this money, dummy. You need some wisdom. If you got some wisdom and you got some sense and you got some people around you with some wisdom and sense, then they're going to help you. They're going to guide you. They're going to be able to give you the knowledge and the understanding so that you'll be able to go to the next level. We may not be alive to see it. The older brother that's on the show, he may not see it. But the little wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we depart on this show, y'all take heed to these people. I thank y'all for allowing me to come on y'all's show. Y'all so gracious, and I really respect y'all. Sometimes I call on y'all's show, I just listen. I don't even say I'm on here. I just listen, and then I get right on. Y'all doing y'all missionary work, and y'all keep doing your missionary work. You may not see the fruit of your work, but it may not be meant for you to see it. But all you have to do is keep doing what God wants you to do, and that's telling the truth.
Hallelujah.
Save somebody else. I thank y'all.
Hallelujah.
I got to go to a meeting. I really appreciate y'all. Thank you very much. All right?
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
Shalom.
Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Shalom.
Y'all take
Shalom.
It easy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Hallelujah. 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 We appreciate the brother for coming on. That's Brother Paul McKinley from Chicago, Illinois. And we thank him for coming on. And we just want to, you know, just acknowledge the fact that that is exactly what we're trying to do. We do this every twice a week now on Tuesday nights. Better World, Members of a Better World, featuring Prince Asiel, is on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, and we're on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. This was an emergency episode that we decided to have tonight because it is imperative that we get the attention of our people, because if we don't stop what we're doing, we're not going to have to worry about them shooting each other and killing each other. All they have to do is sprinkle that virus in our community. And because of our behaviors, and because of our behavior patterns, because of the things that we do that we take for granted, and because of our sexual immoralities and all of the things that we, the way we conduct ourselves as a people, they could wipe out a whole community in less than 30 days. And you better believe that they're going to try to find a way to do that because they are, you know, they want to be able to, they're tired of all of the things that they claim that we're doing, and they want to make it seem like that they're doing something to help the community. And we just do not believe that this is by chance, by happen chance. We are urging and begging you to please stop. Pay attention to what you're doing. Do not get caught up. But like I said, the Most High has a way. He has a way to make you honor that law, and it's either honor the law or death.
That is correct. Absolutely
Brother
correct. Shalom, shalom, this is Adonia. Yeah, that is correct. You understand the Almighty, you understand, you know, if it's not right, he going to check you for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes, man, you know, by us not doing what we're supposed to do, you understand, and the Almighty has called you to do certain things, and you don't do it, you understand, he's going to check you. He's going to make sure that you do it. Sometimes he'll take your arm, get you in an accident. You understand? I was outside the other day, and I was sitting under a tree, and I noticed that it got real cloudy, you know, and so I was getting ready to go inside, and a bolt of lightning struck right beside me, and the thunder was so loud. You understand what I'm saying? I still got the ringing in my ears. You understand? It really startled me, but I have to look at what I've been doing. I've been going outside taking a smoke break. You understand? I need to put them cigarettes down. You understand? That's one of the things that I might need to take a look at. But we need to take a look at all of our little actions that we think that the Almighty don't see. You understand? Those little indiscretions that we think that the Almighty don't see. You understand? Oh, he don't. That ain't nothing. You understand? But for sure, you understand. We need, you know, we supposed to be a people of righteousness and uprightness and truth. And so we can't have these little indiscretions in our lives. We can't bring that into the land when the Almighty calls us into the land. You understand? Because we're supposed to be about righteousness and uprightness.
Absolutely.
You understand?
Absolutely. You know,
so.
And you're right. And you know what? Another thing is that judgment starts with the house of Israel first. And
that is correct.
Correct.
The land. It has hit the land. I mean, judgment has hit the land, and unfortunately, because we are a stiff-necked people, and you know, he said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, but then it says they reject knowledge, and because they reject it, and because they look at you like you're crazy, we're going to lose a lot of people, but for those that are listening, you know, for those teachers and mores that are on this line and priests that are on this line that are listening, we compel you to please try to get to our people. Please put this in the message as a part of the message. Get this out over the airways and everything so that people understand that this is life or death. And like I said, we're not. It's not a pandemic right now. We know this. Our whole goal in this whole situation is to make sure that we educate our people so that we don't lose our young people. We don't lose our older people, you know, because the elderly and stuff, you know, you never know what the plan is. You know, they may be tired of paying for medical care and all that stuff for the elderly. We just never know when we're dealing with the type of individuals that we've been dealing with. We have to make sure that we educate our people and let them know, you know, we have to get healthy. We have to start eating right. We have to start taking care of our bodies. We have to start educating our children, you know, from the GMOs, the food, the plastic food we're eating, you know, down to all of the things that we put on our bodies and in our bodies. We have to get people, make people aware of what's going on so that we can change it. And like I said, all that illicit behavior, all of that, because we did a study on rap music not too long ago. And, you know, there was a letter that was posted by one of the rap artists that this whole gangster rap scenario was orchestrated in the boardroom because they were creating private prisons and they wanted to be able to change the behavior of the young people so that they could fund the private prisons. And the music was able to simulate a certain behavior. And they had this young rap artist and a couple of other people on there letting them know, this is what we want you to do. So what Brother McKinley said is absolutely right. They're trying to steal the minds of our young people so that they can start their functioning in their system and promoting the system that they're doing. So guess what will happen? When they're tired of taking care of the old-timers that have been in prison for life, guess what they do? They sprinkle a little bit of the virus in there. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to take out a whole other population. These are the things that we have to be contained and we have to be acknowledged of because this is serious. And judgment starts with Israel first.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we're gonna have to be chastised. You understand? And I mean, if we think that the curse is over, you understand? Not quite. Because we got some stuff that we need to deal with personally. You understand? And so the Almighty, you understand, is letting us know. You understand what I'm saying? Through the actions of others, we can be chastised.
Yeah. And he's not going to save us either. He's not going to save us. If you decide you want to do those illicit behaviors and those sexual behaviors
correct.
And the things that you're doing, you're just going to perish with everybody else.
That is correct. I know, you know, it seems ironic, you understand? We sitting up here, you understand, and nothing has happened, you know, per se. You understand? The Almighty does things in a subtle way. He will let you feel, you know, all of a sudden, you understand, this Ebola virus has come on the scene. And before you know it, we don't listen and we don't try to heed to it and do all the things that we need, that we know that we need to keep us safe, you understand? It's going to be blown out of proportion and before we even understand what it is.
Hey, this is Aishina. I'm sorry, Brother Donnie. Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
What I just wanted to say, if we could just get one thing across to people today, is that number one, they need to, or maybe two things. I don't know, maybe three. Okay, let's start with the first one. Take this very, very seriously. This is a very serious disease. Second, if you don't do, if I can get you to do one thing, wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have hand sanitizer and, you know, those little wipes that they have it out in the grocery stores. Use those, too. Wipe off your car.
Use them, yes. Carry something in your purse or in your bag or something,
Yes, ma'am, at all times. Have a bottle. I don't care what brand you use. We're not promoting one brand over another. It's better than nothing.
That is correct.
Yeah. And if you want to get real technical, get one of the spray bottles and put a little bleach water in there. They sell them at the dollar store for a dollar. Put a little bleach water. Put a little bleach in there and mix it with water and keep it in your purse or keep it on your person. So when you get ready to go use the toilet, you can spray that toilet seat down and the handle to the stall when you go on the stall to get ready to use it, and then the knob to the water when you get ready to cut it on, because these are the things we're going to have to start doing to protect ourselves for the people who are trying to stop.
That is correct.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
And them bottles, they're not that big. Some of them are very small. You know, they're spray bottles. Some of the women use them in the beauty parlors and stuff for different reasons. You can buy those little bottles, and you can carry them around with you and make sure you know that you spray the area, you know, Lysol, make sure you spray your home down. You know, just all the things. When you come home from work, take your clothes off, take your shoes off. You know, don't go in the house with it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Those are the things, because it's been one thing after another. I know here in Cincinnati it was the bed bug scare. Everybody had bed bugs. And it's like, where did this come from? You would literally went to a public place, a library or something. You had to come home and take your strip in your garage, take your clothes off, go in your house naked, put those clothes in a garbage bag, and then put them in the washing machine and stare that you may have brought some of this stuff to the house with you.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, I remember that.
Them bed bugs is the worst thing in the world to try to get rid of, worse than roaches.
It's been one thing or another. You know, then it was the AIDS virus. It took a lot of us out, and some people still walking around with it. It's still a lot of us that are HIV positive or infected with AIDS. They've come up with medicines to make you live longer, and now you don't look sick, but people get infected every day. And then now here this is.
Yeah. You know what I heard? I heard.
You don't stop you. Yes, sir.
Kane, you know what I heard? I heard that plane that they can't find now, they had some scientists that they said that they had a cure for the AIDS virus that they was going to put out. Did anybody hear that?
No, I heard it was on the flight that they shot down over the Ukraine.
That was the one that they shot down over the Ukraine?
Right. They were on their way to an AIDS conference, in fact.
Okay.
Wow. I believe it, but just like I said, the Most High has a way to allow certain things to happen. Judgment has hit the land, and these plagues are coming up on the land, and these things are happening to us. And you know, we think that it is the conspiracy of the government to be able to do this, but nothing gets past the Most High. All of the things that are going on right now is in his permission and allowing it to do so. And it's almost like if Israel don't pay attention, you're going to get caught up in the wrath with everybody else. And, you know, all we're trying to do is sound the alarm to let you know it's time to start paying attention. Everybody that's listening under the sound of our voice, it's time to start telling everybody to stop all of the things that they're doing, because you're not going to be able to get away with this forever. Just like the Most High came through Sodom and Gomorrah and completely wiped it out with a salt storm, completely shut it down with a salt storm because of the things that they're doing. Don't think we're going to get away with it. We're not going to get away with it. I don't care how many laws they pass, how many things they allow. We're going to pay. America is going to have to pay for the things that she's done. And and if you're not righteous and you're following the ways that they are, then you're going to pay right with them. And that's the time that we're telling you, please stop. Please stop doing what you're doing, because now it's getting critical. That's a horrific way to die. Anytime your organs completely liquefy, that's got to be a horrible way to die.
Ooh, I'm telling you.
Hi, Sheena.
Yes, ma'am.
You have any last words to our audience?
No, like I said before, and I'm just going to keep saying it, be vigilant. Don't assume that everything that looks clean is not clean. Take extra precautions.
That
old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
That's right.
Carry
your little hand sanitizer with you. Use soap and water. Wash your hands after you go to the bathroom. Use paper towels to turn off the faucets. And there's nothing wrong with a little bleach. I had a best girlfriend who never traveled without bleach. She would go to the bathroom and clean her bathroom with Clorox before she take a bath.
Yeah.
This is a serious, serious, serious disease.
That is correct.
And this is not the only one. This is not the only epidemic. This is just the one that's in the picture right now.
That is correct.
Hallelujah.
So please be careful. And if you have a cold and have a flu or any kind of fevers or cough, get help from a healthcare professional.
That is correct.
You know, hallelujah. Brother Donnie,
Shalom, shalom. Yeah, this is Adonia. I just want to let everybody know that if we don't do nothing, that's just like giving carte blanche, giving your credit card to somebody and let them just run through your account. You understand? Because you ain't going to do nothing about it. We all got to take extra precautions now. You understand? And this is not the end of matters. We was in the wilderness and the Almighty sent snakes out, you understand, but we got past that, you understand. So what we have to do is, and the reason that we got past that, because we did everything that we were supposed to do to take precautions, and that's what we need to do today. We need to take the precautions that we need to take, you understand. When we get a cold, we need to check that cold early. You understand what I'm saying? And do what we necessarily need. I, for one, believe in the old remedies, you understand, Vicks Vapor Rub, mustard plaster on your chest, you understand, and all of those old remedies for me have always, they don't make the cold go away immediately like a pill that you would get at the drugstore. You understand, the drugstore, and those pills just make this keep the cold sedated, but you still got the cold. But the old remedies, you understand, you can feel the cold going away from you as you use the old remedies. You understand? So those are my suggestions here, and I pray that we will heed some of these things that we've been told over the airwaves today. You understand? And I love each and every one of you with the love, with the undying love that I have for the Almighty. And and I'm sticking to that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And from Yaina Yael, I'd like to say to the young women, I'd like to say, you know, it's time to clean up. If you don't like to do it, do it. It's time to teach our children cleanly habits, body habits, all of that things. You know, teach the children how to shower when they come home from school. Shower before they go to bed. Shower when they get up in the morning. Wash their hands. These are the things that we have to be able to start doing for those people who are trying to do things the right way. Continue to pray. Ask the Most High for the leading and the guiding that he has for us that we need to do. But most of all, we have to present ourselves as a righteous nation, and he's going to have a righteous nation. So, you know, these things that have been put in the earth, either you're going to listen because we sounded the alarm, or you're going to perish with those people that believe that they're going to be allowed to do anything that they want to do, because he's coming to put a stop to all of this. And I don't care how much they try to come up with a vaccine or a virus, every time they stop it, he comes with something else. So, I mean, you know, these are the things that we have to be able to be careful with and learn how to heal ourselves as a nation so we can move forward. And if anyone else has any comments, questions, or concerns before we hang up, we'll give you a minute to push one. We don't want to instill panic, but at the same time, we want to let you know how serious this is. This should be passed around to all of the camps, all of the churches, all of the associations and public administrations and things where people come in contact with. It's time to start paying attention. Hand sanitizers, Clorox wipes, a little bottle with some bleach in it, and a little bitty water, the little spray bottle with some bleach in it for the bathroom. Go to the bathrooms with your children. I was just in the emergency room about my ear a couple of days ago, and this lady was sitting there, and her little girl couldn't have been no more than four. And she was like, "Mommy, are you going to go in the bathroom with me?" And the black girl was sitting there like, "No, I can't even be sick. Go in there. You're going to be all right." And I'm just looking at her like, "Are you serious?" I wanted to say, get your big butt up and go in there with your baby. You don't know who's in that bathroom. Don't send your boys to the bathroom by themselves. And when my little boys were little, I would cover their eyes and take them in the ladies' bathroom. And I just tell the ladies, "I'm sorry, it's a boy in the house. I have his eyes covered, but he is not going in the men's bathroom by himself." We have to start taking precautions and protecting ourselves. And the mothers know what to do. So pay attention, ladies. Time for us to start doing what we do best, and that is to cover our families and make sure that our families are protected and to keep everything together. And for the men, you know, we thank you for all the comments, Prince Raphael, Paul McKinley, Brother Donia, as usual, you've been there. And again, we say shalom, shalom to everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow. I'm sure Prince Raphael is going to have some individuals on his show tomorrow, some healthcare professionals that will shed a little bit more light. And from this note, we say shalom, shalom, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Shalom, shalom.